Okay, so we know that kindness and mercy kind of go hand in hand, but they're different. Mercy is not getting what we deserve, and kindness goes along in that same regard, because we should be kind even to those that aren't kind back to us. So in a sense, it follows along with mercy, but it's not quite as, I guess, as strong as mercy is. I mean, God's mercy is upon us at salvation, because we're not getting what we deserve. You know, the Lord is gracious in that regards in showing us mercy.
Another thing on kindness, it kind of goes against our grain, because we tend to want to eat out justice. And
especially if somebody does something to you, you want to, you know, our tendency, our flesh wants to retaliate. You want to speak in anger if someone speaks in anger to you. You want to lash out at them if someone's unkind to you. It's harder to stop yourself and say, no, I'm just going to say nice, I'm just going to play nice with you, and I'm going to be nice to you, regardless of what you're doing to me. And, you know, the Bible speaks about you're heaping coals on them when you do this. It's not easy, but it can be done. And the Bible tells us we're to pray for our enemies. We're to pray for them that despitefully use us. All of these things come into play when we're having to practice our gentleness. And she gave a little example on page 68 of, like, crystal glasses, very fancy glasses, and especially if they're like an heirloom, they've been passed down to you, you're going to take extra care with them. Well, someone's spirit, someone's soul, their being is just as precious in the Lord's sight as these crystal glasses. So take care when you are dealing with people, especially if you're doing any kind of counseling or just, you know, trying to share with someone the Lord. Be gentle. Now, the Lord does say that, you know, some people, when you deal with them about their salvation, you have to be firm. But you can still be firm and be gentle and kind at the same time. You don't have to be all in their face and, you know, and tell them you're just this rotten sinner and you need to get saved. I mean, there's a way to say that and still be nice about it, you know. So
I think she has something to say.
Yes.
Just thinking out loud in my head, and my head kept going.
Sorry. she's agreeing with herself.
But I was kind of thinking too, though, when you can be, because we can easily be tenderhearted.
Right.
We can be tenderhearted a lot easier, I think, sometimes than loving somebody.
Right. So, oh yeah.
So if you could take tenderhearted. And working with somebody that you go, well, I just really don't like you. But I can be tender-hearted enough,
right,
where it will come across as being loving.
Right, they're going to interpret it that way. You may not love them as, you know, what love stands for, but showing kindness and being tender-hearted, especially in forgiving, when there's someone that's a little unlovable, or you just have
a lot of unlovable,
or a lot unlovable, exactly. You have issues with them, or you may not even know them that well, but they come across as very brash and very, you know, cold. The more you are caring, and the more you show tenderheartedness and being gentle with them and loving them and being long-suffering, mm-hmm. that goes a long way in changing their attitudes. Yes?
I had a woman that moved in, and she just had really mental problems. And, you know, I tried to do a Bible study with her, and she just went berserk. And I think I mentioned this about, you know, saying my father was a... I was the head of a mafia, and my daughter was a murderer. And she was going around shouting to the neighbors. And so the office had heard about it, and they said, you know, basically, do you want us to evict her? Because they weren't too happy about it either. People thinking there's someone there that murdered.
It's like, no.
And I said, no. I said, that's okay. And so I just kept praying for her. And then one day she came up to me, and she said, I'm really sorry for what I did. I said, well, what did you do? And she said, you know what I said about your dad and stuff. I said, that's okay. I knew it wasn't true. And so, but now her whole life has changed. She's going to church on a regular basis. She finally got a job.
There you go.
Just to see the difference.
Yes, ma'am.
These kind of go hand in hand, because I can forgive somebody, and then they're like, oh, you're just doing that because of this and this, and mm-hmm. I can get angry all over again, mm-hmm. and there went everything.
That's true.
You know, but the long-suffering, the impatient in this, and forgiving each and every time, the consistency, that's what wins it.
Yeah.
But if you know, I can forgive anybody for anything, and then you do it again and I get mad, then the forgiveness and went out the window.
I know.
Right, yeah, you know, and then, yeah, we're going to get to that here, and just, but first let's go to Matthew chapter 5, ladies, and let's get...
Not that I have any practice.
That's right. Yes.
For personal experience. Right?
Yeah.
Not at all. As we could all say, we have families. We have husbands and children, and yes, so and bosses and people we work with, and yes. So we practice this on a daily basis. Okay, so chapter 5 of Matthew, we're going to be in verses 43-48. And it says, how are a believer and an unbeliever alike according to these verses 46 and 47? So let's just read this whole thing here. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And I'm going to look, we're going to look up that word in just a minute.
Publicans?
No, we're going to look up.
I didn't know what that is.
A publican was the people that ran like the
government,
the tax collectors. They were
okay, yeah.
They were those people in the Bible.
Okay, thank you.
But in 46 and 47, it's saying the unsaved basically they love people that love them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do the same thing.
Right.
Okay, so we're no different in that regard. But then they also, the people that are just like them, they are more friendly to them. Well, we are more friendly to our brethren, the Christians. We have more in common with them. We share more with them. But we need to also think outside, and we need to we need to love the publicans, and then they in turn, it's like it. Of course, it's going to be easier to love those people that think the same way that you do. That's the easy part. Even the unsaved do that. So God, what Christ is telling us is we need to be different. We need to show them that we can love them too, as opposed to only I'm only going to have friends that are saved. You know, I'm not going to... Yeah, and you are, and you get into this, you know, where the only people I ever do anything with are the people that that are think like me, and we're all in the same group, and we all get along, and everything, and you never reach out to anybody else. In a lot of ways, we have an ulterior motive of making friends with the world because we want to win them to Christ so that they're in our inner circle. But there are friends that you can have that you can show kindness to, you can be there for, you can help them if they call you, but you're not like so connected that they're the ones that are influencing you, but you're there for them if they call you. You know, you don't have to be buddy-buddy and do everything with them so that they're being an influence on you, but when they call and they reach out to you because you've proven over and over again that you're going to be there for them, that goes a long way into sharing the Lord with them and being there for them. Yes, ma'am.
When I read this, I thought about a saying where it says you keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Yeah.
And I used to think about that all the time when I was at work. Because if you don't watch your enemy at work, put a knife in your back.
The
ones who smile real nice in your face, and then when you find a gossip, you find out that they usually started the gossip. So it was easier to befriend those.
Oh yeah, and be
you knew have a knife in your back.
Exactly.
So you could stop the gossip.
And you know, and that's basically what 44 is saying. You know, love them, pray for them, and that's a hard thing to do, especially if you don't like somebody. And you know that they don't necessarily like you, but to pray for them. And that goes a long way in changing your attitude toward them. They may never change their attitude toward you, but if you start praying for them, that changes your attitude to them, and it makes a big difference. Even if it's... And that can even go... even in the church, because we all have a personality, we all are different. Yes, we all have a connection because we have Christ, but there's sometimes that there are people that there's something about them that, you know, you love them and you're always kind to them, but there's just little things that they do annoy you. Well, start praying for them. Pray for them in earnest. Pray for them all the time. And your attitude will change, and then that goes a long way with changing their attitude. So that's basically what this verse is talking about. But I wanted to look up this word perfect in verse 48. Because it... if you read it just for the word itself, you're thinking that that means perfect. And it doesn't mean perfect, because we can't be perfect.
That's right.
So it has to mean something else. So I'm going to look up the word perfect, and then I'm going to find Matthew. This is my concordance. I love my concordance. And it gives me a number of 5046. So then I'm going to go back here to the Greek section, and I'm going to look up 5046, because it's a New Testament word, so that's why we're in the Greek section, right?
Right.
Not in the Hebrew section. Okay, 5046. Okay, it means complete. Okay, of full age. A man, completeness, growth, character. So that's what in this, so you can put mature down. You can put be there, mature in your actions, in a sense. Be in a, you know, put your big girl pants on and, you know, let's be the grown up in this situation, as opposed to children tend to show their colors all the time. How they feel, it's written all over them. Well, as they mature, that tends to change. So think of yourself, we are like children when we come to the Lord, and there are things in our life that we have to grow into. We're growing spiritually, just like we grew spiritual or grew physically as a child. So think of yourself in that same way. The more I learn, the more I study, the more I listen to the pastor, the more I'm in church, little by little, I'm growing spiritually. So I am getting more and more perfect or mature, complete, becoming more like Christ every day. Supposedly, that's what we're supposed to be doing. So we know that our Father in heaven is perfect in the word, in the sense of the word perfect. But here in, for our understanding, we just need to be more complete in Him, more, have more growth every day, every month. As we learn more from the Bible, we should put that into practice. That helps our, faith, that helps us to grow. And just like we've been learning from the beginning of this book, we had to till the ground, we had to get out the rocks and the boulders and the things in our garden so that spiritually we can put into practice these fruits of the Spirit that we are learning about. So as we start practicing these, then we're growing. Yes, Pam.
I just want to ask you, well, it says perfect, it uses for us, but does it have in there what it means perfect with the Father?
Well,
I'm just curious.
Because it's in that verse twice.
Right.
It still says it the same number twice.
Okay.
I know. So it's, yeah. I mean, the Lord is complete in in Him, so He's perfect. Our completeness is more of a
growing,
as a continuation.
Right.
We're continually growing. Where He is,
He's
the ultimate perfect, and we're growing to be, you know, not perfect, because we'll never even be there.
Close.
Right. Okay, so in our spirit-controlled life, when we live a spirit-controlled life, how will we show kindness in a supernatural way? So verse 43 tells us that we're going to love our enemies. That takes the Lord to be able to do that. Because when you were unsaved, if somebody was your enemy, they were your enemy for life, pretty much. You didn't try to be friends with them. You just didn't like them. You avoided them. Yes. But now as a Christian, we tend to see things differently. It could even go to the fact of when we see people, you know, talking bad about the Lord. We may not even know who they are, but they're enemies to Christ. So in turn, we feel offended. But because we have the Lord, I can pray for them that someone is going to reach them and touch them so that they will have what I have. But that comes from having the Lord. I couldn't do that otherwise. You know, I couldn't even, you know, all you want to be doing is, you know, talking bad about them. And that's not how, you know, we're supposed to be. So that takes the supernatural, that takes the Lord in us to be able to do that. Now in 1 Peter there's another verse, 1 Peter 2:20.
I actually had to go back and read the beginning of that to understand this verse.
It is, and there's a little extra. Let's see if we can decipher this. Okay, so 1 Peter 2:20 says, "For what glory is it if, when ye are buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, that this is acceptable unto God." Okay, so when we do wrong and we suffer consequences, we should be patient in that because we did wrong. But if we're doing right and we're being persecuted, that's harder to be patient with. Because we're thinking, but I'm doing the right thing. Why is it all turning out wrong? But that's when the Lord says, be patient, because I'm handling this. I will take care of it. I'm the one that's going, he says, it's acceptable with me. I'm going to look out for you. If you sow good, you're going to get back good. You may not see it at the moment, but it's good. But if you're sowing bad, be assured something, so just like the unsaved, they will reap what they sowed. And if it's bad toward you, let the Lord take care of it. Pray for them. But leave it with the Lord. He said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." We don't need to take these things on ourselves. But it goes right back to the verses in Matthew. Love your enemies. Pray for them. Be consistent with that, ladies, in... It makes your life so much better. And especially that, but we all tend to do it where we pray for something and then we like stew over it. And we just keep bringing it up, and we just like what Diana says, I can get mad all over again, but I forgave them. But did you? It doesn't sound like you did. You know, but we can also take something to the Lord. We can go to the altar and give it to the Lord, and as soon as we stand up, we take it right back to the seat with us. We got to find a way that when we give something to the Lord to carry, we need to let him handle it. But we want to take it back because we feel like, we should do it this way. And we're always trying to help him because it's not getting done fast enough. We want it done. I want you to zap them now, Lord, and not later. You know, I want to see it. I want to see it happen. Exactly. So this is not quite being kind. So yes. So we kindness. This little box down here at the bottom of 68. Kindness should be of such a quality that we can even love our enemies. Bless those who curse us and do good to those that hate us. Pray for those who despise and persecute us. To live this way calls for courage. It means that some of those to whom we extend kindness will turn around and kick us in the teeth. It means that we will often be snubbed or scorned, and that our best intentions will sometimes be misunderstood and misconstrued. It does happen. And the best thing that you can do, just like he told the disciples, they don't hear what you want to hear. Brush yourself off and move on, because there's somebody else that's going to just move on. Just let it go and look how, and if it helps to think about what Christ went through, that helps, because look how misunderstood he was. Every time he said something, somebody took it the wrong way, or they turned it around, or they didn't want to hear what he had to say. All of those issues he faced, and he didn't strike out at them. Here, I got it. It's okay.
I'm gonna get something else to do with
my fingers. There we go. So just keep that in mind when you're thinking about how you're going to handle. I was gonna say retaliate, but we're not supposed to do that. So that's like, wait a minute, that's not the word I want to use. When you want to speak to other people about what they're doing to you, make sure that you are long-suffering. Make sure you go with love and joy in your heart and have some peace about you. You've prayed about this situation. If nothing else, you've prayed about the situation. Bathe it with it much prayer about how you're going to handle talking to someone, especially if it's someone that you have a relationship already with, and all of a sudden there's a glitch in your relationship. Bathe it in prayer before you go to them. You know, really just kind of take some time before you go and speak to them to repair the situation, because then in turn that can also, their heart can be tender as well, and they're able to receive, you know, what it is that you have to say. Yes, ma'am.
The forgiving and stuff, it has to be right inside too. And there are times at work, outwardly I'm smiling and I forgive, and my coworker will say, Diana, you're always so kind about it, forgiving, and I'm like, no, I'm not, because if you could see my heart bent down, it was all an outward show and it was not inward.
Exactly.
And eventually they'll know that.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to really, if you're going to forgive somebody, you really need to have it in your
exactly.
heart.
Exactly. And you can say, I forgive you, and have a smile on your face.
And inside you're saying, do it again. And
in some ways, the way you say things to them, you may be sweet on your face, but your words are saying something totally different. Your body language is saying something totally different. You know, I can put a smile on my face and say, sure, I forgive you, and you don't mean it, and they know you don't mean it. And so before you grant it necessarily, before you say something, Lord, please help my attitude.
Don't do it, Hail Mary.
Right, yeah, exactly. I just need for you to work in my heart before I go to them. Okay.
We have to find our tender
hearts. We have to find our, be calm.
Got to be tender-hearted.
That's right.
Because I think for women, it's easier for us to be nurturing. Nurturing. And so when we're nurturing, we can find the kind-heartedness to be forgiving. So that our body language shows.
Exactly.
That even though I'm going to kill you, I am, my whole body language is showing that I'm not.
I may not do it right now.
I'll do it later.
But I might do it later.
I will draw a dial of you, and I'm just
saying. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. But anyhow, thank you also for being
welcome. You're welcome. Okay, so Matthew chapter 18 on forgiveness. How many times should we forgive a person?
I'm 74.
Okay.
You should forgive them way more than that, because God always forgives.
That's right. God always forgives us every time we ask him.
So we should
just do it. But he gives us an example in verse 21 and 22. He says, then came Peter to him. Of course it was Peter. And said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven, which is 490 times. Okay? And we're not going to keep track that long.
No, I was going to say.
490 times. You know, we are not going to... Okay, that was the 27th time you've asked me for this. Well, you know...
It's easy to do it when it's kids.
Well, that's true.
I mean, my kids pull the same stunt over and over, but you're patient because they're learning their little. But when an adult does it...
Nah, you don't get no more chances. Exactly.
Not that you...
That's right. This has been 240 times you've done this. Exactly. I have wrote it down, and this is the 300th time you've done this, you know. But
190 more and you're dead.
That's right, exactly. But... ladies, really, the Lord can be the same way with us. That's why he is so long-suffering, because here I am, Lord. I've done it again. You know, here I come with the same thing. Oh, you know, and it's like you would think that he would say, enough. I'm not doing it again. But he does. That's right. This is your. You have one more chance. You best get it right. You know. So one more time. That's it. You only got one more time. And so in our dealings with other people, keep that in mind. We can make it as funny as, but sometimes you have some people that. They're going to do the same thing to you over and over and over again. Look past that situation. It is. But look at what they mean to you. Look at other aspects of your relationship with them. Is this something that I really have to make a mountain, or can it be this issue. This is who they are, and until the Lord changes them and really gets to the hold of their heart, this is going to be an issue. But can I look past that and see who they are and be kind to them and love them? You know, sometimes
I love my husband dearly, but he's the first person who can sleep nightly. I know he's sick. I know I have to be patient. And the moment he does it, Satan's like, and I immediately was like, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And it's so hard.
And, you know, and this 70 times 7 goes a long way when it comes to our families.
Yeah.
Because we are. We'll be so nice to strangers that we don't even hardly know, and grant them all sorts of things, and our families, our husbands, all of them, they do one thing that you don't like.
5 minutes.
Thank you. And we are just up one, just, and it's like, wait a minute, I wouldn't speak that way to anybody, and why do I think I can get away with speaking that way to the people I'm supposed to love the most outside of the Lord? And but
we, what makes it harder though, because family, you live with family all the time, they know you, they know what pushes your
buttons. Oh, yes,
and so you look at them and go, okay, you know you shouldn't have done that, you know that was going to hurt you, you know that was going to bother you. Whereas the friend out there, the person out there who did it, doesn't know that.
Exactly.
So it's hard.
But you'd think we would know that. We would know that they're going to push our buttons, but we still allow it to happen anyway.
You know, yeah. It's really weird.
We do.
Go ahead.
No.
Like, In Japan, it's the exact opposite. The Japanese people, we look at them and we think they're rude.
Right.
But in Japan, it is perfectly acceptable to toot or to burp or whatever in front of strangers, but you do not do it in front of family.
Oh, okay.
So it's
the opposite.
They do it the opposite way. You show the respect in the family. Now, what you do out in public to the strangers, it don't matter.
Because they're strangers.
Right.
Right.
But we do it the other way around.
Yeah, exactly.
I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Another thing with forgiveness that I've learned over many years is that, you know, forgiveness can take time. You forgive them, and then all of a sudden it starts to come back, and you have to forgive them again, because sometimes the hurts are so deep mm-hmm. that it takes years to really totally
yep.
forgive them.
Okay, so we're going to stop at question 9. We're not going to do that. Now, next week, we will not have Sunday school.
Right.
Because it'll be missions conference Sunday, and Brother Baldwin, we will all be in church. So next week, we do not have Sunday school, but the following Sunday, we will.
Okay.
So today's the 8th. Next week is the 15th. So then the 22nd.
What page are we left on?
69, question 9.
I have to say, I want to thank
the 26th, 27th.
I just want to thank the women in the church because you've made me feel so welcome. And I would really like to get to know your names because you come up and say hi, Linda, and I really would like to be able to say hi, whatever your name is.
So, you're welcome to call me whatever your name is.
I'm very serious, though, because if I don't start learning them now, then I'm going to be afraid to ask you later, you know, because since I've been here for a while, I figured, well, you know their name.
Oh,
what? We should have name tags.
Yeah, I agree.
One other thing is a special thing. Miss Gloria became a grandma the other day again.
Yay!
Her daughter had her baby, so we are all happy. We were praying for her daughter to have a safe delivery, and she was born Wednesday night, late,